Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I used to say to people, usually in the pub or outside the pub, after I'd had probably just a few too many drinks when I was younger. I could get a bit feisty sometimes. But one day somebody looked at me funny after I said it and said, what are you talking about? What do you mean, don't look at you in that tone of voice? How can I look at you in a tone of voice? How can you look at somebody in a tone of voice? What does it even mean? Welcome to Connected Communication. I'm your host, Christine. This week, I'm not able to do a huge amount of research and preparation on my notes because I have to fly to Ireland for, as I was telling you last week on the podcast, some tests, an MRI. And I was trying to think of what to do because I obviously still want to produce something that's going to be enjoyable and valuable for people, but at the same time, respect my own time and what I'm capable of producing. And then I realized that I've had a lot of people talk to me recently about their tone of voice and how they come across when they speak and how confident or lacking in confidence they might sound, what tone is in English, what it means when we're speaking in public, etc. And I thought, okay, well, sure, here's what I'll do. I'll talk a little bit about tone, some phrases that use the word tone, and then I'm going to take an excerpt. No, it's not an excerpt. It's actually a full recording from my online platform, the Connected Communication Resources, and put it in for you. Verbatim, exactly as it's recorded on the platform. Well, polished up a little bit so it sounds better quality for you lovely podcast listeners. What other phrases do we have for tone? You might have heard somebody called tone deaf, a person who tends not to be able to carry a tune very well when they're singing. You might as a child have been told to tone it down, or maybe even as an adult, though I wouldn't like to hear that as an adult. Maybe you've had somebody at work say that to you. To tone things down. Make what you're saying, your words, your behaviour a little less forceful or severe. Come to think of it, you may have had somebody say to you, here, you need to tone down your attitude in those messages now. Tone your feedback down. Soften it. Make it more gentle. You may have needed to set the tone. Establish a quality or a feeling or an attitude for an event. An article, a meeting, a presentation. Obama set the tone for his speech in Ireland incredibly well when he began by using cúpla focal, a few words in Irish. You might have toned yourself up over time, made your body become tighter, healthier, toned your muscles. You might have been told by a superior, a parent, a teacher, a priest, a nun, to watch your tone. Something said by a superior generally to someone who they think is communicating with them in an unacceptable tone of voice. You might have lowered the tone once or twice at an event, a presentation, a meeting, a party, by behaving in ways that weren't acceptable to the society you were keeping. You might have spoken at times with an abrasive tone. Stop it. Get off. Get up. You might have had someone say to you, I don't like your tone. Don't speak to me like that. Over time, you may have become aware of your tone. When I talk to people about speaking and finding the connection with their tone, which I'll talk a little bit about later on, I say to them, speak from your solar plexus. And often they'll say to me, what? I don't know what you mean, speak from my solar plexus. Well, if you've ever done anything to do with meditation, relaxation, connecting with Reiki, with yourself, with the earth, with nature, you'll have meditated into your solar plexus. You'll have connected with that central center part of your body. The place where the sun can shine or the moon can rise. The place where you can expand your breath, the whole universe inside you, in the middle of your core. If you're still not sure what I mean, take your fingers just in between your breasts if you're a female or your, well, what might we say, your moobs or your pecs, depending on the type of male you might be. If you're neither and it's a totally flat chest that you have there, Then look for your ribs. Maybe I should have just gone with the ribs in the first place. That would have been easier. So go for where your ribs end and you feel the bones on either side of your body, and then move towards the center and you'll start to feel a dip right there in the center. That's the point there where we recognize the solar plexus sits. And when we breathe into that point, that's where our bellies expand when we inhale, using breathing for speech. We don't let our shoulders rise. That's clavicular breathing, which will affect our airwaves and stop the breath from coming out effectively. So you feel that little dip point there. And if you can, if you have the ability to perceive and see inside your mind, when you take a deep breath, see and imagine that part, the feeling, that the emotion that you have in there. When you get scared of something or excited about something, that's the part of your body that usually quivers first, where your gut connection comes from. That's the bit that sends the messages through your body that says whether your gut has a good feeling or a bad feeling. That's where our emotion comes from. That's where we set the tone of our voices, the resonance that comes through our voices from the notes that we make when we speak. That's how we can show if we're feeling angry, or we can show if we're feeling calm. We can show if we're feeling afraid. We can show if we're feeling sad. Now, of course, I'm using other parts of my mouth to do that as well, but I have to think about and perceive the emotion in my mind before I can share it with you in my voice. That's what I mean when I say speak from your solar plexus. Find the belief in the center of yourself. Breathe and connect in with the belief, and then you set the tone. Your tone is your attitude. When you're writing, it's the attitude of the writer. It's a literary technique. When we have tone awareness, we realize the impact that our tone has on other people. When we don't have tone awareness, we don't realize the impact of our words and our behaviors and our emotions on other people. And we just land them on them. Like flicking somebody on the ear without them expecting it. Stop it. Don't do that. Yes, please. Yes, please. Thank you. Do that. We land them with our emotion through our tone. So, without going into any further detail on it for this episode, I'll expand on it and talk a little bit more about it in the future. I'm going to put an article up on LinkedIn about it as well, and share some more. And of course, if you do enjoy listening to the podcast, if you do keep coming back to listen, if you read my other content or you watch any of my other content and you want to support my work, you can click the link in the show notes and go to the Connected Communication Resources. In return, you get access to a full library of content like this, plus more video training, audio training, PDFs on public speaking, English pronunciation and the voice, mindset, communication, confidence, and many other different aspects of communication. That's my thanks to you for saying thanks to me by supporting the content. As I say, I won't go into any further detail on it this week. I'm going to give you a recording from the platform about tone, explaining tone, examples of tone, how to practice and work with your tone and dogs, and the different types of tone that we have. Have you ever heard a speaker sound too excited or sound like they really didn't care about what they were talking about, or pause so much that they didn't really sound like they knew what they were talking about? What you were hearing was a different effect in tone. Tone is the quality or character of a voice. It carries emotion. We talk about having good sound quality or good timbre of the voice. When we try to activate all parts of our mouths to achieve a balanced resonance, this is when we're looking for good tone. As I record this, I'm aware that I'm not using the best microphone in the world. I'm not necessarily in the best recording circumstances either, but I have to do with what I have at the moment. I also have a click in my ear, which may sometimes affect the tone that comes across. That's not really anything I can do anything about other than edit it out to the best of my ability when I'm listening back. A new one, microphone I mean, is coming. I'm hoping that I'll buy the right product and will be able to better balance my tone and the audio content that I create. But I also bank on my voice and my understanding of resonance and the resonators in my head, my nose and my throat being good enough that I can get the desired tone that you enjoy hearing. And that my passion for what I do, my love of my work comes across in the tone of my voice. There are different names for different types of tone. Way back at the beginning of my publication of this podcast, I talked about tone quantity, which is power, sometimes called stress, particularly in the English language teaching or learning industry. When we think about tone power, you're thinking about the push on the different sounds that I make when I speak. So if I didn't exercise any tone power at all, you wouldn't really hear any alteration in my voice. You'd hear me speak and give the same amount of power to every sound that I make. And this is not how English works. It's what typically can cause communication problems and a breakdown in understanding and communication, particularly for those who come in from other languages to learn English. But this audio isn't about tone power. If you're on the platform, you can go back and you can listen to it when you go into the other part of the section on mastering your speaking voice and go into the actual section on power. This is about tone color or tone quality, another element or facet of tone. Tone color or tone quality can be hard or soft. It's the light and shade in vocal expression. The subject matter dictates whether it will be a hard or a soft or a light or a dark tone. It's an adjustment of the tonal quality to convey some mental state or emotion. You heard in my example at the beginning there, whether or not I was feeling happy or a little bit bored. We know a person is angry not necessarily by the words that they use, but by the tone of voice used. Anger tends to be one of the easiest emotions for people to pick up. And this is why the mentality of a speaker matters so much. It's how an audience may feel confident in a listener or not. If you've seen my TEDx or heard me talk about it, you'll know that I'm not happy with the second part of it. I had problems in the middle of it. I had to re-script. And it was evident, particularly to anyone who's a speaking coach, that I was readjusting and searching for words in the middle of it. And what happened then was there was a resulting impact on my overall pace, my use of pause, and the tone that came across in the second part of the speech, which meant that it didn't have the impact that I wanted it to have. But we all have to learn lessons. If you don't believe in what you're saying and don't sound like you believe in it, how can an audience believe you? If you believe in what you're saying and you're sincere, it will come across in your voice. If you have a speech defect now or a difference in your vocal makeup, that might make you sound different, of course. And that's partly what is impacting and affecting some of how I come across in the podcast, particularly over the past number of months, because I've taken over audio production myself. I've never done audio production before, ever in my life. I've been around performance and stages and sound producers and singing and all that sort of stuff, but I've never actually done it. So I've dived in, we might say, at the very deep end to try to learn something that is pretty technical and complex, all about sound waves and how different sound waves work and the equalization, which goes right over my head. And I have this click thing that I talked about in my ear. So for me, as somebody who's been trained and raised in very particular, almost perfectionism, when it comes to creating things related to the voice, it's been hard for me for the past few months and lessons in life and acceptance of self and acceptance of a journey to be able to put out certain types of content. I'm not always happy with it. I have to accept it as being where I am on this part of my journey. As I progress, as I improve, as I get better, and as eventually when I have time, I invest in some sort of platform or program to teach me how to do audio editing properly. The overall tone and effect of what I'm doing will come across differently and better as the podcast goes along. But I still believe in what I'm saying. I believe in my message, I believe in my voice, and that, I hope for you, is coming across in my tone. Sometimes it's a sadder tone or a slower tone or a lower tone because difficult things have happened. Sometimes it's because I'm a little bit afraid that I'm going to mess up the sound on the microphone and it's not going to come across right. Sometimes it's because it's too late at night when I record and I just don't speak at the normal tone of voice that I would. But I always feel confident in what I do. I'm confident in the knowledge that I have and in what I can bring to my listeners. And that's important for you to do too. If you're an entrepreneur and you're pitching for business, you're pitching to clients, you're pitching for money or investment, you have got to believe in what you say. Not only have you got to believe in what you say, but your voice has to carry that belief, even if there is fear sitting underneath it. In the inflection module on the platform, I use short phrases to play around with so that you can practice them using the inflection techniques as well as practice with tone color. There are so many different ways to do this and to play around with it. In one of the audios that I did on exclamations, you hear my tone change with the different adverbs for different moods. Apply warmth or coldness, anger or sadness, happiness or elation, or even a depressed type sounding voice. When you do this, notice how the feeling in your stomach, in your diaphragm, shifts and changes. So if you put your hand over your stomach there and you imagine walking into a new job for the first time as an executive in an organization with 500 people underneath you and they're waiting to hear you introduced. The gut does that lovely little twist and it constricts. And then you see somebody in the crowd that you know or you've been working with for years and they're beaming up at you in full support and then it loosens. That corresponds with the sound that comes out of your mouth then when you speak. This is why your mentality is so important. So when you go to speak in that meeting or that presentation or on that stage or in that conversation, if you're feeling constricted, if you're feeling tense, if you're telling yourself you can't do it, that you're not good enough, that you shouldn't be there, you don't deserve that space, your stomach will tighten. Your breathing will constrict. Your mood and emotion will tell the listener that is how you feel. So think about those feelings, right? For example, anger. So I can say anger just as the word like that. But if I embody the feeling in my head and my mind and my emotions, anger. Do you feel the pinch? Even in what you're just hearing from my voice, what's happened is the whole center of myself, from the middle of my throat, all the way down through my windpipe, through my chest, to my diaphragm, to my solar plexus, has tightened. It's pinched. Anger. What about happiness? Now do you feel it? It's all opened up. If I have a cold, I might sound like this. So what's happening here is that the resonators in the top of my nose are pinching together. My soft palate has risen in the top of my head. I better change my voice back. So what's happened there is my soft palate has lifted and my nasal passages have tightened a little bit. And there are people whose nasal passages are shaped like this, whether they were born like that or throughout life they've changed. Or if, as I say, you have a cold or you get sick, that changes the tone of your voice. You can change those different resonators alongside the emotion that you feel in your mind and your body to affect your tone. We've got joy. We've got absolute and utter hilarity. That doesn't sound like hilarity, does it? Hold on a second now. I better actually laugh. You've got hilarity that comes across in your voice. Now you might be thinking, this one's mad. Yeah, show me normal and tell me I'm mad, but the purpose of this is that if I'm demonstrating a little bit of looseness and what some might deem or judge insanity or madness, that you feel less foolish or silly when you try it yourself. Like I said, the number of exercises you can do on this are limitless. But if you're coming into English and it's not your first language, or even if English is your first language, and you have never thought about the tone of your voice or how your tone of voice can come across, it's important to do so when you don't really sound like you care. That you're just there and yeah, you're taking part in it. And this is a great meeting. I really enjoy working in this organization. Now I'm going to tell you about the incredible, wonderful things that we did this year. People are going to know that you're bored. You could hear it there in my voice. You've got to understand how the movement of your voice with inflection, which is a different aspect or facet, blended with tone, impacts and hits the people that you're communicating with. Have a bit of fun with it. If you can find a partner, play with your partner, a friend, your dog. Listen to dogs. Well, listen to how you speak to your dog or how your friends speak to their dogs or how people on television speak to dogs. If you don't have experience of people with dogs, it's a great way to practice. When you say to a dog, sit, sit, and you just say it like that, the dog will look at you, might look at you, it might not even move. But when you say sit and you change the tone of your voice and then they see and hear and feel your tone and the command in it, they learn to do so. As I record this, actually, I remember a video I made about tone with dogs when I was walking with my sister's dogs in the forest. I'll dig them out and either I'll put them on the platform or if I can edit them properly, I'll stick them up on social media. So tone color and tone quality really are all about your understanding of what you're saying, how well you know your topic, what you believe to be true of what you're saying, your confidence in your words, and the emotion you feel while speaking. To practice it, play about with different emotions. Notice how you sound and how you speak when you're tired, when you're in a place where you can't really speak very loud and you don't want to be heard. When you're somewhere where speaking very loud is absolutely no problem at all. When you get excited about things, when you feel love and emotion towards something. When you're really very upset and you don't know what to do. All of those things can come across in your tone of voice if you are able to feel them in yourself. And you can learn to convince yourself to believe them. Good tone depends on certain things. Good breathing and breath control. Good posture. Relaxation. Balance between the resonators. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the resonators are those cavities in our nose, in our throat, in our mouths, arguably in the chest, where the sound bounces off when we speak. That's what makes the sound reverberate or resonate and creates this depth of tone. So balance between them without excessive use of any one of them. So do you hear the way my voice kind of went a little under them? Got just slightly gravelly. My voice went down there a kind of a tiny bit too much. So there was slight excessive use of my throat in resonance there. But I've been talking quite a lot for the past few days. And like I said, your tone can depend on certain things. How tired you're feeling, how well you are, how much you've been speaking, how you feel. So mine's a little bit affected there. I won't explain fully resonance now. You can go back and listen to the frequency episode, Finding Your Frequency. I talk a little bit about resonance in there. And finally, good vocal projection is necessary. So if I swallow my voice a little bit and I don't project it out, I'm holding it actually down in now underneath my throat, almost down in my chest. So you hear the way I'm pulling it back? Can you feel the stress that you feel when you're listening to me speak like that? If I don't project and pull my voice up and forwards towards you, whether I'm using a microphone or I'm standing in front of you, you feel uncomfortable as a listener. It's necessary for me to have good balance and good tone to also project my voice towards you. I'm not going to go into all of the different aspects here, posture, breath control, relaxation, the resonators, etc., because this is solely about tone quality and clarity. You're on the platform. There are sections on every single one of these aspects. So go and find them, depending on which one you feel you need to work on most. There's also tone clarity. And tone clarity refers to your clarity of speech. It relates very closely to articulation. Again, there's another section on articulation, of course, that you can study. In fact, Articulation is one of the first sections that I bring you into after you've set your goals. Clear speech is a result of care and attention paid to the crisp and clear articulation of consonants and the liquid flowing vowel sounds. I don't do this all the time. Firstly, I'm Irish. Secondly, I'm human. But when I need to be emphatic and intentionally emphatic, I am. When you're practicing all of these, bring it all together. Check your pronunciation, for example, of the nasal sounds. If you're blocked or you have sinus issues, if you're not used to stretching and balancing your resonators, find ways to do different exercises on them. Think about how you can bring your voice forward and up into your mouth. Forward placing, we call it when we speak. You can put your hand in front of your mouth and feel breath when saying different sounds. For example, p, m, l, t. If you don't feel breath, you're forming the sounds too much inside your mouth. So for example, if I don't feel the breath there coming out where I have nice, fully forward projected sounds, you're going to hear this. Again, I have to try this. P, m, l, h. Do you hear the tightness there? The difference between the p, m, l, h. There's a much deeper, rounder sound coming out in the second ones. Now, I don't want to be too breathy. That's a tone fault, breathy tone. P, m. So you don't want to speak like that, where your breath is coming out all the time. Find the balance. Use that intercostal diaphragmatic breathing, the correct posture where you're sitting, you're standing in a particular way that's going to allow those sounds to come out in the way that you want them. Think of getting the crispness on your consonants and pull it all together to try to find that balance in your resonators. So in summary, when we think about tone, we know there are different aspects of tone. There's tone colour and tone quality, tone power and tone clarity. To find the desired tone or good quality timbre of the voice, we want to activate all parts of our mouths and our resonators to achieve that balance and resonance. We want to believe and feel confident in what we're saying. We want to aim for crispness and clarity of our consonants, effective breathing, clear liquid flowing vowel sounds, good articulation aspects, solid posture, vocal projection, and intercostal diaphragmatic breathing. We also want to forgive ourselves and understand that everybody's different, that some of our resonators are developed in different ways depending on the languages that we speak and on the practice that we've had throughout the years of finding tonal balance. We can exercise and we can improve it. Finally, when we think about tone, we also want to think about how we come across to those we communicate with. So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a mindset exercise and some questions that you may or may not direct towards people you work with. When you're listening to this, keep in mind that old saying that you may have heard many, many times throughout your life or your career. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Well, when I say this, I also add, it's also to whom you speak. Some people will take different structures, different questions, and different tones of voice in different ways. As I say the next few questions, think about what impact each of these would have on your listener's morale and motivation, and which one might be better for you to use as a leader or a manager in an organization to get people to do the things that you need them to do and to feel comfortable in your presence and working with you, for you. I don't like saying under you, alongside you is one that I prefer. Something happens. You go to the person and you need to inquire about what's happened and you say, why did you do that? Compared to, what's the reason this happened? You need to give some bad news, or you need to talk about something that made a project stall or go slow. And you come and you say, unfortunately, there was some red tape to work through and the project stalled. Or you say, I'm not pointing any fingers, but the other team didn't approve it on time. And then you're exploring how to move forwards with something. After an incident or an issue may have occurred, you're going to give some feedback to the member of your team. Moving forwards, you need to behave differently and communicate using a different style. Watch your tone. Versus. What would you do differently next time? How can I help you achieve this? As a manager, as a leader, as a human being, you have a tone. Sometimes that tone will shift and change. Sometimes you might say to yourself, "Oh, I need to watch my tone." Sometimes other people might say to you, "Watch your tone." Only you can determine what your tone of voice needs to be, how you want your tone of voice to come across, how you want to adjust your tone. As you go forwards, practice the other aspects on the platform. Go in, find what you need to shape for yourself, the areas and aspects that you feel you need to work on most. If you're not sure, go back to the very first part of the platform and look at the goal setting section. Do the future self exercise. Take 15 minutes, get yourself into the corner of a comfortable space or the middle of a comfortable space. Light candles, light incense, do something that will make you feel comfortable. Relax in and go on a journey to meet that future self. Happy practicing. Some of you might be listening to this thinking, "Oh, for God's sake, it takes too long to communicate like that. To go soft and take that gentle approach with people, you have to be firm and direct." It's very true. I do not deny it one bit. And in fact, I've had a very interesting journey with directness, politeness and permission over the past few years because I've done training in neuroscience and brain-based coaching. And of course, when you do anything for the first time, you get right into it, you dive in, you don't have your own opinions and thoughts about it just yet. So you go along with what you're being taught and trained in until you understand it well enough to be able to apply your own experience, your own mental maps and your own thinking to it. So at the beginning, when I started doing brain-based coaching and brain-based training, it was all about permission. Seek permission from the person to do this. Seek permission from the person to do that. Drive them towards reward. Bring them always towards the positive. Go easy on the negative. Be developmental in what you're saying and asking. So when a mistake is made, instead of saying, "Well, these were the issues or the problems," we focus on, "Well, what did you do well? And what would you do differently next time?" And I did that for a long time. And in truth, it's lovely. It's a nice way to work with people. But it can be slow. And it doesn't necessarily work with every individual. In fact, I lost a potential client because her question to me was, "Well, you'll give me feedback, won't you? And you'll tell me what I need to do." And I was like, "Yeah, well, you know, I'll do it in a way that makes you feel comfortable and that's permission-based, that will help drive you forward as in the best way possible." She was Russian and she never came back to me because that's not the Russian way. That's not what she wanted from me. She wanted me to take command and take control of my position as an expert in terms of what we were going to do together in communication and in speaking and pronunciation. So whilst I'm talking here about you finding that right tone, the "why did you do that" generally doesn't work on anybody because it's immediately impactful in terms of reminding them of some parent or teacher or some negative person in their life that questioned them. But indirectness doesn't always work either. And not necessarily being honest in your feedback doesn't always necessarily work. So you've got to find the tone that works for you, but that is respectful to the other person in the way that works for them as well. And so when I say that one there at the end with the last example, moving forwards, you need to behave differently and communicate using a different style. Right, that's not likely to land well on anybody. And it's not really developmental. You need to behave differently. Well, what do you mean I need to behave differently? What do you want me to do? Well, that's not me. That's not how I behave. So you can create this immediate response or reaction that's going to create tension. What would you do differently? Well, create a different tone in the conversation and can move you forwards in a different way. But it doesn't mean that you can't give them guidance or give them advice. Well, what would you do differently? Well, this is what I do differently. This is what I do differently. Okay. And what impact do you think that would have? Oh, I didn't think about that. And then they explore the impact. Would you mind if I give you a couple of pointers on top of it as well? Yeah, I'd be delighted to hear them. So think about not only how you feel about the directness or the indirectness or the politeness or the impoliteness of a tone that you might find or might use with the person. Think about how it will balance the overall tone. See, now my tone's gone throaty because I've been speaking so much for the last few days and I've been drinking coffee, so I think my throat's a little bit dry. I'm going to have to cough to be able to talk further so that you don't feel uncomfortable with my tone. I'm not going to cough on the podcast. There we go. And I'm going to leave that in. If you're new to the podcast, let me share with you, please, if I may, firstly, a welcome to say thank you for being here. And secondly, what you'll begin to note if you come back and you go back and you listen to other podcast episodes is that I do this thing where I try to be a bit Deadpool. Like, I don't try, I just do it. I speak as if I'm standing in front of somebody and I'm having a conversation with them. I try to imagine who might be listening, who I might be having a conversation with. And I don't alter and adjust who I am and what I am and my manner of communication just for the possibility that it's not perfect for the ears of those who tend to be judgmental about content when it goes out. What I mean when I say it's Deadpool-like is that I talk directly to my imagined audience, the people that I think are listening. It's called breaking the fourth wall, which is something that I had absolutely no idea was a concept. It's just the way that I made my stuff, made my content whenever I did it. But this guy that I mentored last year was studying film, and he explained to me that what you're doing is actually something called breaking the fourth wall. It's where you don't separate the veil between the speaker and the audience. You actually speak to them as if they're there in front of you. And this is what Deadpool, what Ryan Reynolds does in Deadpool. So just going back to me telling you there that I needed to cough, it's a live example of human interaction where you're in the middle of a conversation with a person or somebody is speaking on a stage or presenting and their throat starts to go because they've been speaking for a while and they might need to take a moment and cough or take a sip of water. That happens. And for me, this whole idea of finding perfection in audio production and filmmaking and creating a judgment in people and a requirement and expectation that everything needs to be perfect and shiny and beautiful for it to be produced as content is partly what creates so much bias in the world and what leads to people not making content, feeling afraid of putting content out there because of the negative judgment that they might receive, simply as a result of human aspects coming across in it. So if you're new, or if you're coming back and you've never heard me do something like this before, or you've never noticed it before, that's what it is. If you're not somebody who likes it and appreciates that kind of thing in content, that's okay. You don't need to listen to it. If you're open to the possibility of something different like that, I hope you'll come back. Maybe even send me a message and say, yeah, it was a bit weird for me, but I'm going to give it a go again. And here's what I'd love to hear you talking to me about. So you can imagine that I'm talking to you then as well. I like that. I like it when I listen to speakers and they talk as if they're speaking to me. And I imagine I'm having a conversation with them. Particularly because sometimes some of the things that we want to talk about, we don't necessarily have a lot of people around us to be able to talk about because we're interested in them and not everybody is. So when you can find someone to listen to who speaks in a tone that aligns with yours, your tone of mind and your tone of voice, you can connect with them more deeply. You heard me mention a few different parts of the platform that you can go to practice and do some exercises on. It's very difficult to talk about and teach the aspects of vocal production, speaking, and even tonality without connecting it with all the other aspects of modulation. So if you do want to have a wee look at that, click the link below and go and join the platform and take a look inside. See what access you get.
Send me messages or put comments on the content. I love to hear from you, especially if you're learning and developing or you got something new from it. As always, thanks for listening. Vanity. Avis Kleikas.